This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here on the week of July 20th, 2021, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, news.
Yeah, that's right. We're back again. Rob, Danny and Tyson reunited for another edition of News AF. And of course, back with us to talk about the news, Pickleball's top influencer and America's favorite dad. It's Tyson Apostle.
Whoop, whoop. Do you or Danny resent me for being America's favorite dad, or that's okay by you?
No.
That's fine. You guys don't want to be the favorite dad anyways?
No, not at all.
Pressure. It's crazy that who was the last person to share that title? I think it was Bill Cosby.
Well, you took it over. And you've had a squeaky clean image since then. So
I hope so. Yeah, I've been
fine. We're in good hands, America.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm back. Just grinding on the pickleball streets, you know, and having a lot of fun. It's not really a grind. We're having a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. So, got some Fila hat giveaways. Going to even sign one of them and more giveaways to come. All you have to do is follow me on my social medias. And that's about it. I don't really have anything other than that in the pipes. Oh, like two pickleball documentary projects called me within the same week.
Yeah.
Like
Which
last
one did you
week.
Select?
I've got them both going right now.
You don't have to pick. It's not like
it's good to have choices.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm just positioning myself to be in the most pickleball documentaries of anybody ever.
Yeah. Did you keep up with your oil pulling this week?
I didn't do any of it. Not even once. Did you?
Flossed.
I flossed, but not every day, but most days.
Okay. All right. Well, last week, of course, we talked about the order that you should be doing your dental hygiene with the great Puyazam Bakili. This week, Danny Bryson is back. Welcome home, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Wait, what's the order? What order should you be doing this?
Ooh, okay. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mouthwash first. Oh, no, floss first. Then mouthwash. Then brush your teeth. And then oil pulling for 20 to 30 minutes.
I knew it. I've had this argument with Liz, and I've always supported flossing before brushing because it just made sense that you would get loose in the debris and then finish it off with a hard brush.
Yeah. So, but that's not the tricky part.
So I can.
The tricky part is mouthwash
first,
before brushing.
Don't do mouthwash after.
Yeah, I don't do mouthwash. I don't want my mouth to be dry for the next 7 hours.
And tongue scraper.
No mouthwash. Yeah.
There's also a tongue scraper in there. It's a lot.
It's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
A lot of steps. Okay.
Well, I floss and brush, so.
Danny, how was your trip?
Guys, it was awesome. The Alps are great. You can go climb mountains and then have a baguette at the top. And,
there's a baguette stand up there.
No, they have restaurants at the tops of mountains there, which is just so great. So you can double brought it with some Palm Spritz jammed in your face and a Coke. It's just the way to climb mountains. Yeah, they've really perfected it.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's pretty cool. Were you ever in any peril whatsoever, Danny? Because some of the stuff you were doing on Instagram, you were on the cornices quite a bit, tethered to some other gentlemen. And it seemed like some of the stuff you were doing was quite extreme, which I know is the image you're going for on Instagram. But how extreme was it?
You know, how extreme it is depends on obviously the person doing it. Didn't feel extreme to me. I try to make it look extreme because that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And with the tethering, you know, I look at tethering or being roped in with people as like in a lot of cases, mutually assured destruction. So if one of us falls, it's like, hey, let's all agree.
You're all going
that if
down.
One of us falls, he'll take everyone with him and we'll die together. It'll be so romantic and just the way to end it all in a big tangled ropey mess as we talk. Humble down the hillside, best friends forever.
Mm-hmm. And
very similar
to
what Tyson and I will experience as we're thrown into space.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about space later on.
Well, not, I mean, in the future.
Yeah.
The problem here, Danny, is with you being tethered to Matt, is that the eulogy I already have pre-written for you guys is exactly identical. I just switched the names out, and so
could be awkward.
It will be very awkward when if I share it at exactly the same time at your joint funerals, where I have to be like, okay, and now Danny's eulogy is exactly the same as Matt's, just plug in Danny's name instead.
You wouldn't just do a co-eulogy?
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
But then what would I do for Christoph?
The worst part about tumbling down the mountain and then getting tangled up in the ropes, in my opinion, is that what will probably happen is that you'll get tangled up and you'll tumble, and then the tumbling will strip all the clothes off of you. Mm-hmm. And then people will think that you fell during some kind of bondage experience instead of like doing something cool like mountain climbing.
Yeah.
All tethered together, just three.
Could be embarrassing.
Just the three of you.
So are you saying the best place to have a bondage experience is the Alps, where then people will say, oh, this must have been a mountain climbing fall. Accident. Yeah.
I think once you die,
exactly.
You don't feel embarrassment.
Is that your family does.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. The shame goes on. Children carry the parents' shame. I think that's in the scriptures. Thou shalt carry the shame of thy father.
I've already
there, so.
I've already alluded to in your pre-written eulogy to your death being caused by autoerotic asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's no way around it, Danny. You're going to feel
whether or not that's actually the case.
Yes, mm-hmm. You're going to feel it.
I'd like to read this. I need to agree to it. So maybe send me a copy.
Take a pass.
Okay, maybe I will. Should I actually construct one for the fans and they can look it over for us, or we can
crowdsource
it a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, well, we've got a lot of stories to talk about here today. Of course, the Olympics are right around the corner. I mean, both of you
probably. Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard much on them this year. Mm-hmm. People used to care more about the Olympics, I think, than they do now.
I think they used to care more about the Olympics as well.
Yeah.
Tyson, do you watch a lot of the Olympics when they're on?
Oh, no. I mean, if they're as a background noise for whatever else I've got going on in the room, I will turn them on. But I don't.
Making.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I will probably purposely try to watch is the bike racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And only because I have some interest in who wins. Yeah. The road race and the mountain bike race.
Yeah.
And that's really only it. I do have some interest in watching basketball, but not enough to like seek out when the games will be played.
Yeah. Now, Danny, are you going to be paying as much attention as Adam in the chat, who says Adam is taking 2 weeks off work for the event? I mean, just to watch.
It's great to watch the Olympics because you're seeing people who are the best at every sport. Like it's cool because you can say you are the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those sports don't interest me at all. Yeah. So I won't be watching.
Tyson,
no.
William wants to know, when will pickleball be added?
The pro pickleball lobbyists for the Olympics are saying they predict 2028.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of growing to do, but it's not.
Yeah.
unthinkable. It depends if pickleball stays on this trajectory and is widely accepted internationally and gains a lot more viewership on the pro levels than it currently has, then it's a possibility. But I could as easily see it plateauing currently where it's at and being like, I mean, Frisbee football was really, really popular in college and that never really took off.
Yeah. What should be added first, Tyson? Pickleball or Survivor? Should that be added to the Olympics?
Survivor?
Yeah.
Who said that Survivor should be in the Olympics?
I mean, is Survivor a sport? Should it be added to the Olympics?
No, it's not a sport. It's a game.
Mm. Yes.
Is it a sport, Danny?
I think that anything can be a sport.
Anything could be qualified. Yeah,
golf is a sport.
Yeah, it is
more of a World Cup Survivor?
Yeah, like every 4 years.
Yeah, should there be like tribes of like four tribes of like different countries?
Yeah, but it shouldn't.
And then you make one country makes it out.
Oh, and you advance.
Yeah.
I think it has to be.
Surviving is the oldest sport in the world.
Mm-hmm. That,
yeah, a lot of times it's just called living.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think Survivor. Yeah, Survivor shouldn't be. No, there's just too. I mean, a lot of individual stuff is already kind of included. Like basketball is already, and sometimes they do like that weird basketball and football and stuff. So, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, there was a lot of news this week about the Olympic Village this season and the beds that the Olympians are going to be sleeping at the Olympic Village, because famously, the Olympic Village is known for one thing, Danny. Do you know what that is?
Giant orgies.
Wild sexcapades at the Olympics. The Olympic athletes, they've been training. And, you know, that they say, like, I watched the Rocky movies. They say that, you know, a lot of sex could impact your athletic performance. You would think that these athletes train their whole lives to get there for the Olympics, and then they're just like rabbits.
I think that Rocky analogy is an old wives' tale.
Yeah.
Because that was an old cycling thing too.
Yeah,
and now they're just like, no, that doesn't affect your performance unless you're skipping sleep. And so as long as you're still getting ample sleep, I think it's fine. And also, like you said, you've been working for years and years and years to get the perfect physique. And now you show up to this place where all these other people have their perfect physiques. And I mean, it's a perfect recipe.
Smashing meat. It's like tons of perfect physiques.
Did you say smashing meat?
I don't think anybody else should ever say that. This is no doubt.
I just kept hearing Tyson talk about perfect physiques over and over and over again. Like, that's all I could think about. It's the only phrase I could come up with.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I believe I've seen articles before where there's quite a few STDs being passed around at the Olympics.
So apparently,
like 500 condoms per person.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and this year will be no exception. Even though that they are trying to cut down on these conjugal visits, there will still be hundreds of thousands of condoms that the organizers have put 160,000. Condoms available. Are there even that many people at the how many people are in the Olympic the village?
You think only one person per condom? Is that
what you're talking about? I'm trying to do the math. Are there,
this is a 2 week event.
Yeah, are there,
let's say,
how many people are in competing in the Olympics?
A lot
thousands.
Yeah. Like, you haven't you ever seen the opening ceremonies? It's like Team USA, okay, and it's just like never ending. And you're like, 16, how many sports 000? Are here?
Are there 16,000 people?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, if there was 16,000 people, I mean, it takes two to tango at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, is that would be on average, we're going through what, 10, 20 condoms a person?
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
2 weeks, 3 weeks. That well, not for like you, Danny. Many? I mean, Danny is famous for, he's average 7 times a day. So he's amazing.
I'm just saying, if you're young and in top physical condition, like Tyson is saying, then what's 10? You know? Well, and plus, you're used to breaking records. So you're
you're trying
probably
to break
a
records.
Challenge to see who can use the most.
So teammates, do you think there's any sort of competitiveness? Do you think there's any sort of
Olympics? Yeah. It's only competitive.
These are the most competitive people on the earth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. So you think people are going for speed records, Tyson?
I think speed, endurance also. So there's two different competitions there, as well as sheer numbers. And there's a lot. There's so many different facets of this game that this should actually be the focus of the Olympics in the future.
It might get more ratings if they really pay more attention to this. Have some sort of like live feeds at the Olympic Village.
Gotta go pack also has a good point where it's not just athletes. There's trainers and coaches
Everybody, et cetera. Eyes on the prize, everybody.
Are you talking about trainers and coaches who are training and coaching while they're using the prophylactics?
Like, yeah, probably.
There's a coach coming in and he's like, you could have done better there.
Yeah, I don't think that there is a sex coach that's there.
Certainly. Yeah, certainly.
So the organizers of the games are very concerned about this because they know that this happens, that we hear all the stories from all the Olympic games. But, you know, the big underlying theme of the Olympics this year, I mean, this is technically the 2020 Olympics here in 2021, is that it's all about COVID. And so
contagion
to prevent, like, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to make sure these games happen without a hitch. But
yeah, just wear masks, everybody. Kissing.
You know, I mean,
wear masks, no kissing.
We're giving away 160,000 prophylactics. You would think that we would have plenty of masks around, too. But that being said, that the organizers of the games have come up with a clever hack to prevent these shenanigans from going on.
Don't click on this link on the side of this tab.
Yes.
Organizers create a clever
simple trick. Yes. Yeah. So the beds, the mattresses are set up on cardboard with the idea that the beds cannot support multiple people on the bed. They will collapse.
So dumb. You just collapse the bed once and then you've got your sex mattress on the floor. It's not going to stop anything. It's actually going to be a competition to see which swimmer can break the most
beds you can break.
Yeah, that's going to be the contest.
Yeah.
Plus, who needs a bed?
True. Yeah. You're going to be at sex parties and competing. You don't have time for sleep.
Yeah. So are we believing that this could slow anybody down?
No. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. What did they do with the showers? What did they do with the couches? What did they do with the chairs? Are there cars there? Are there kitchens? Do they have, like, that's the thing. Like
dark alleys.
Yeah, they have to, like, pretty much the only way to do this, you know, those when you go somewhere and there's like it's a wall, but then it has pokey needles all over it. So birds can't land on it.
Mm-hmm.
You need pokey needles all over everything. So the second an athlete stops paying attention, they get poked. So they are constantly in fear and have to hyper focus so that they don't get poked by these needles that are built into everything.
Yeah. So I will clarify the story. So the idea is that these beds are for preventing people from hooking up at the Olympic Games. The Olympic organizers say, no, this was always going to be the case at the Olympic Games, and that the cardboard beds are very sturdy.
So they're maintaining that they will, in fact, withstand an orgy.
I don't know about an orgy, but I believe that the beds can withstand up to 440 pounds.
and absorb a lot of liquid.
I don't know about that. But then I guess you can recycle them after.
Yeah, that is actually pretty cool that you can recycle them. I mean, what else would you do with that many beds after? Donate them?
Set them on fire?
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah, with the Olympic torch.
At the end, that's the closer. Like they used to do in Survivor, where they're like, we're just going to burn the shelter down.
It's
like,
down at the end.
You know, there's tarps and stuff in there. We don't care. We're a big production.
Yeah.
So now that you said that, Rob, so it is not fully determined that these beds were exclusively designed to stop athletes from having sex.
So that I think that some people are thinking that is the case. And that is a theory that people are like, hey, you're not going to stop us from having the sex.
Yeah, they're just going to show us by having more.
Yes. But the Tokyo organizers are saying that it is more about being eco-friendly than to any other reason.
Okay. I like that.
Yes.
I don't mind that idea. I think you can recycle a cardboard bed into another cardboard bed and not feel icky about getting on a used cardboard bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Danny, would you want to see if you could get a commemorative cardboard Olympic bed after the games are over?
Oh, yeah. Liz and I would love to have one of those. Put it in the guest bedroom. If you want to stop people from having relations, what you should really do is just make their plus one their parents.
And I'm
pretty sure that'll
parents
stop all.
Stay in the room with the athletes. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't stop everybody. You could also revert back to the chastity belts, etc. Just like as you enter the country, they just snap a chastity belt on everybody.
So you'd like to see that. What if then only the gold medalist gets the key then to the chastity belt?
So you're saying it's
competition would be so much more fierce.
An award?
And you don't win the chastity belt. You win the key to the chastity belt.
Oh, to your own chastity belt.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And anybody else's.
No. There's no master key, Danny.
Yeah, come on.
Only the winners.
I don't know. I think
it's a workshop thing.
Yeah, we're workshopping it. I think I think you can still let adults be adults and they can make their own decisions as long as it's not hurting everybody.
Danny, do you think that we might see cardboard beds, if they become very popular, come to the next Caligula New York event?
I'm sure they're already using cardboard beds because you can spill buffet food on them and they clean up nice, and then you can get rid of them when they're and they get covered in so many stains. You can always just get a new one.
If they made high quality cardboard furniture in general, that would be so perfect for your house, because instead of having to buy 17 different dressers for the kids' bedroom in the span of 12
months.
So
easy to move.
You could just lift it, recycle it, and then swap it out. And it's only $50 a pop rather than $700. And then I've saved so much money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see if the cardboard beds become a bigger issue at the Olympic Games coming up, starting on Friday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I did want to talk about, we haven't spent enough time talking about the billionaire space race that we saw that the Virgin Atlantic Virgin Galactic guy. What's
Richard Branson?
Richard Branson. He already got this started. Now Jeff Bezos went to space today and has successfully returned on his spacecraft, the Blue Origin. Danny, can you explain to me why this is happening?
Well, if you have a lot of money
and
you've purchased anything, you've got the yacht, you've got the houses, it just seems like naturally the next step would be owning something in space. And bragging rights are definitely nice. But sure. I also think like Branson's pretty old, you know, he's done a lot of cool stuff. Maybe for him it was like, this is just me wanting to do one last thing. This might be my last chance song to get into space. Yeah.
I mean, but what song, he did, exactly. Was it like really, really space?
It's technically space. So space, I don't know exactly. I think it's like 60 miles above the Earth. I don't know exactly, but there, it's not as cool as you think.
This was a lot of work to go to technically space.
Yeah, I understand that. But for me, like if you were like, hey, Tyson, we're going to space today. We're going to be up there. It's going to take a couple days. So you're going to love it. And they get me up there and I'm like, when are we going to get to space? And they're like, we're in it. And I was like, no. I've been almost this high before and stuff. I think it looks almost the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it, but
baby
also
steps, Tyson.
I guess.
Who else is going? Danny, is Zuckerberg going to space?
Well, he came from space, he already knows the most about intergalactic travel.
He's back and forth all
Bill
the time.
Gates? Is Bill Gates going to space? Yeah. Is he going to? Or no?
Nobody wants Bill Gates on their ships. No, nobody wants Bill Gates on their ship. And Zuckerberg knows more about space than probably sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying that Bill Gates is kind of a buzzkill of the party?
Yeah. Would you want Bill Gates on your spaceship? Everyone's stoked. I mean, Bezos had a cowboy hat and a cowboy attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't worked on a spaceship. He doesn't have a spaceship sitting there ready to launch and then
land
again.
It makes me like him more.
He's behind.
And then Elon Musk is not getting on any of his flights, right?
Elon Musk is building stuff, but he's not going.
Correct.
So I feel like Elon Musk he's going to do it right. He's going to go big and he's going to totally show the other billionaires how you
he's
going to
get on the moon.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he wants to settle for just going into technical space. I think he wants to go into like actual
real space,
Like orbit.
Where I'm like, that's real space. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I just don't get it what the like end game is here. Like I understand like these guys are super rich and maybe like they're getting involved in like satellites, but it just seems like PR, but it's like the opposite of PR. It makes people dislike them that they go to space.
Yeah.
The problem is they're visionaries in a lot of ways. Someone who wants to go to space, first of all, they're all adventurers. They're risk takers. That's how they got to where they are. Mm-hmm. But I also think that people who push the limits of space, they, our future could, everything that needs to be explored is up there in space. It's the biggest question mark we have. And
Danny loves space.
I think these people, I love space and I'm fine with billionaires spending their money to push the limits of space. Because for me, a lot of the answers to the questions we have are to be found in space. Hmm. And it's just like, why not?
Are you going to go to space?
Let's blow as many. If I could afford going to space, I would totally go to space. Not even a question. I would go into actual space. I'm not interested in technical space. I'm interested in standing at least on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I guess so that, but they didn't go to the moon.
Yet.
I know, but again, it's baby steps. These people are building space programs from the ground up, but they're kind of like restarting programs that ended like 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. They're
trying to implement new
streaming service is doing also.
Yeah, so they're trying to implement new technology to an old kind of like program and kind of find out how all of this will work. Plus, they're trying to do it on a budget. Mm-hmm. They're trying to save money because they want to make this a commercial enterprise and they're not a government institution. So they can't just continually set money on fire. They have to find some way to get a return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What would that be though, Danny? What's the return on investment?
What would be?
Selling tickets
for this?
Well, obviously selling tickets. First of all, selling tickets to space will make you a lot of money.
So the next to watch the
thing you can do, colonizing.
Yeah.
Colonizing, harvesting asteroids, colonizing planets, getting out there. That's the thing is that these guys look at it's like the new world. It's like sending Columbus off to go explore the new world. It's like somebody out there is going to find the treasure chest in space.
Yeah.
And they're going to become the most powerful people ever. And the richest and probably immortal or whatever. And so out there in space is the ultimate treasure.
All right. Well, Danny's in, but I feel like that for the most part, it's pretty unpopular.
Yeah, that's because I think a lot of people are small-minded. Like, they think in terms of just what's happening around them at the moment.
Shots fired.
No, I'm serious. I'm shots fired. I think that really to consider space is to have opinions that go beyond just your immediate concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not a lot of people, by the way, not a lot of people have the opportunity to think beyond their immediate concerns because they live day by day. But a billionaire can think about space because he's taking care of all of his needs and now can turn his attention to things like space. So I'm not saying it's a problem that they're short-sighted. I think that it's just the product of where they are in their life. Whereas a billionaire, he can take the time and money to explore space. Most people are just struggling to survive. So I'm all for it. Billionaires can spend their money and their lives to take us to space. And all the things they discover will eventually hopefully trickle down and benefit everybody else on Earth in their immediate lives. That's okay. How I see it.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Danny. So we want to take a look at something from Jeff Bezos that he had an interesting look coming off of the spaceship today. Is this part of his normal look that he wears a cowboy hat?
I think that it was the brand he's trying to create. I was listening to a podcast about a general in World War II, McCarthy. And I think that's who it was. When he entered the Philippines, he had this weird outfit, but it was like it set the tone. You know, it was like his brand. And I think Bezos is trying to set up his like, oh, dude, I'm this wild space cowboy. Mm-hmm. And I want to become that guy. This is what I'm known for. Yeah. He's just trying to, you know, like everybody else, create the Bezos brand. And he's trying to escape this dorky past, which
I feel like it's more about that than anything else they're going to find up there. Like, I kind of feel like if that's really what he was doing, like, let other people do it. Why did he have to go on the ship?
I mean, he had other people on there.
Yeah, but I know he didn't go alone, but he didn't need to go there.
Yeah, what's his input on that once he gets up there?
He's well, like, I think they should go. By the way, I think they should go on their own ships because they should take the risk. You know, they should share in the risk. If they have so much faith in their systems for launching people into orbit, then they should be on those ships. Especially, I mean, Branson lost two pilots. So it was important for them to say, hey, my product is safe and I'm so confident that it's safe, I'm willing to fly it. So yes, they definitely need to go the first or second time.
Thomas in the chat says, I didn't care about the space tourism, but I hate this hat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is legit hate.
And then Adam Katz says, get that hat on Amazon for $19.99.
Yes, get the Bezos hat.
I was fine with Bezos until I saw the hat. I don't like him now. What a terrible hat. Yeah. What I don't like is it's not authentic. If I wore a hat into space and I was like wearing a mother effing cowboy hat, people would be like, yeah, Tyson, you got this. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's wearing a cowboy hat for what probably is the first time in his life he's worn a cowboy hat, it just doesn't make sense.
But that's Bezos' trademark. Bezos' trademark is overthinking everything when it comes to his own self-image. Like, he tries to be so cool and it just ends up falling flat on its face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, a lot of people have also been talking about the shape of Jeff Bezos's rocket ship, which they felt like was quite phallic in nature.
Let's see a picture.
Yeah, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But if that's the best shape to penetrate the thing around the Earth.
Thousands of years of evolution have decided that that is the best shape for breaking and into space and into voids.
Yeah. Well, this guy, I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, let's say you're having lunch at Subway or something, and he gets mad about the state of his sandwich. So like you're sitting down eating and he's like, didn't put enough green peppers on this thing. And he's making a huge scene and you're just like, you're at Subway, bro. He's definitely a character and one that I don't think I'd care to cross paths with.
Okay. We'll see.
He's one of the least endearing billionaires. I think that there's others who can kind of possibly
favorite billionaire.
I think Elon Musk is Danny's favorite.
I think Musk. I don't know if I could hang out with Musk, but I watch Musk and I find him fascinating. He is who he is. Mm. Whereas Bezos is kind of weird. I think Gates is also kind of weird. I was Branson's probably a little bit more normal.
No, I think he would be Branson's maybe in the same. Branson's in the same vein as Bezos, mm-hmm. where he's like, "Look at how cool I am, guys! Look at how cool I am."
Okay, maybe. Maybe, but Branson has been doing it for so long. He's been doing the whole adventurer thing. Like, if you look at his track record, he's been doing stuff like that forever. His whole thing is like, look at me, I'm a risk taker.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Bezos is just now trying to take on that mantle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can't wait for Danny's billionaire power rankings coming out.
Dude, soon. I'm excited. Are you going to tweet those power rankings, Danny? That would be sick. A sick tweet.
No, I don't tweet, but I'll give anyone who meets me on the street an instant billionaire power ranking.
Okay,
Tim, what's your address?
Does it go top 5, top 10?
I only know like 3 or 4, but I could probably learn a couple more billionaires.
We got Musk, we got Branson, we got Facebook guy, we got Bill Gates, we got Bezos. That's 5 right there. Yeah.
Those are the big 5.
Okay. Then we also have the Wizard of Omaha or whatever his name is.
Oh,
the investor guy.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Yep.
He's probably not interested in space.
Dr. Dre's a billionaire, but I don't think he's like a 100 billionaire.
Yeah. Maybe after Space Jam, too.
I bet LeBron James is a billionaire. Yeah. But you're talking about low billionaires. Yeah. We want like the top, out of the top 10 richest Mark people Cuban, in the Danny? World.
Yeah. Okay. Mark Cuban. There's also a couple of fashion. I think that the richest guy right now has to do something with clothing.
Yeah.
Like the owner of Steve Zara Cohen or something like cool. that. And those guys. Yeah. So I'll try and work on my billionaire list, but I'm mostly interested in the ones who are building spaceships.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what you do is you do out of the top 10 billionaires, you have to list your top 5 favorite.
Yeah. Tyson, do you think that Danny is trying to parlay his helicopter pilot license into that maybe one of these billionaires hears this podcast and says, hey,
yes,
you know 100%. What? I could use an influencer like Bryson on my side.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll add him to the flight crew.
100%.
He's got the
YouTube.
That
would be awesome. Yeah. I would love to land a rover on like the moon for someone. That'd be like the coolest
this ends
thing ever.
Catastrophically for you, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
If you,
yeah, but at least it ends catastrophically on the moon.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Danny. If you had a 75% chance of a successful mission, would you go?
Yes.
Okay.
A 50% chance of successful mission.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Wow.
What?
Look,
we better start keeping like an interview list of co-hosts.
Yeah, but we're talking about, look, there's always going to be risk going, leaving the Earth, our natural habitat, into a hostile place. Yeah, like space. So 50-50 landing on the moon, me piloting the spacecraft, that seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I might be willing to take that risk just to be able to pilot something onto the surface of the moon.
Yeah, but you're not going to be the guy in charge. You're going to be like the guy like at the back who's like, and guess who else we brought? A regular guy who took 8 years to get his bachelor's degree, Danny Bryson. And how do we know Danny? He's like, his family.
Well, in that case, I'm the luckiest person there.
Yeah,
I'm the
exactly.
I'm the cheapest house in the most expensive neighborhood. I'm in an ideal position in that spaceship. I love it. I'm also the first person to die in the movie because it's like I'm the expendable character, but I'm still there. So
no, I don't think you're the first person to die in the movie. You're like one of the last because everybody's relying on you to do stuff that you don't know how to do and have never been trained to do.
Hmm. Okay,
I'll try though, and I don't even care. If I'm on the moon, I'll probably perform even better.
All right.
Under duress, you think? Mm-hmm. Sure. You're a baller.
Sure.
Danny, you're a true baller. Danny Baller Bryson. I respect that even with a 50-50 chance of a successful mission to the moon, I'm going to email all these billionaires tonight and say, I've got a guy for you who does not care about his life as long as he can participate in what you've got going on.
Space.
He loves space.
Yeah.
And billionaires.
Yes.
And he's got, you're in his top five. I'm going to message your top five billionaires, see if they'd be interested.
And in fairness, I think that most of these podcasts only have like a 50% chance of success. And, you know, we still go out there.
Yeah. Every single week, mm-hmm. guys.
Yeah. Could crash and burn any time. We talked about some of these billionaires and what they're up to. And so Bill Gates is not going to space. Bill Gates is working on a much more important project right now because it sounds like Microsoft is busy, hard at work to bring back Clippy. Why go to space, Danny, when you could bring back the beloved Clippy?
What is Clippy?
Clippy is the Microsoft Word assistant that says, it looks like you're writing a letter. Can I help you?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more important than space. It probably helps more people than traveling to space currently does. But no, you know, I don't use Microsoft Word, so Clippy, I have no use for Clippy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that Clippy has been out of action since 2007, as you talked about, like revitalized an old program. And so now with all of the emojis that are out there, that maybe it's time to bring Clippy back. They want the design to uplift and make people happy.
Have you ever used Clippy, Rob?
I mean,
and what are your impressions?
So I feel
of Clippy?
like that Clippy at the time, I feel like would like he'd like
just pop up.
He'd pop up, and then it would be like it would like choke your computer to a screeching halt to
and
use
it would tell
the
you
resources. Yeah.
It would tell you stuff that you probably already knew. Like you'd open a Word document and you'd be like typing a word, and then it would pop up and be like, hey, to type in a Word document, use your keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm Clippy.
Now,
if you need any more help, click on Clippy.
Yeah. Clippy can tell you things like, hey, you're on mute.
Yeah. I have
what
a Microsoft
Clippy's
computer
being repurposed
right now. I got
to
get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's an update waiting for me on my computer.
You think it's Clippy?
It could be Clippy, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I do need to just get rid of this computer.
Yeah. So Microsoft is going to start by getting rid of the standard paperclip emoji with the big happy helper Clippy. It's part of a refresh of 1800 emojis for World Emoji Day later this year. Actually, World Emoji Day is Saturday, which is usually a big holiday in News AF.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite holidays.
We'll be celebrating
it
at my house.
Yeah. So Microsoft, they teased the return of Clippy in a tweet. They said if the tweet got 20,000 likes, it would replace the paperclip emoji with Clippy in Microsoft 365.
And how did we get there with the tweet?
Let me see. I gotta see. Hold on. And let me go ahead and let me try to open that up. So they said if they got 20,000 likes, Clippy would be back. So it appears to have gotten 174,000 likes.
No.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these people didn't even know what Clippy was.
Hmm.
So, do you think that could be the case?
No, people know what Clippy is. Somebody tweeted, this is the 90s reboot I want, Clippy.
Yeah, but some people don't know. I mean, anybody who was born after that. Is there a way to downvote? Dr. Katz in the chat says, is there a way we can downvote so you can negate?
Just drag. You have to drag it.
Man.
Yeah. So Clippy is on the way back. So be on the lookout for Clippy to return to Microsoft 365. And then
Why don't we talk about this story, which has been making the rounds today, about, now we know Danny is a big fast food fan. Tyson, how much fast food do you eat on average?
Probably more than I should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not as much as I used to, but for sure, probably at least once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's always a crowd pleaser with the kids as well. Mm-hmm. So a person went on TikTok to reveal what they have been doing with their different fast food items. They have been just putting them in like in a plastic container to see what happens.
Oh, and I saw this.
So for the last 2 years, this person has been keeping all of this fast food item or these fast food items just on these plastic containers, and they don't go bad, and they don't rot, and they don't get moldy.
Delicious.
Yeah. How about that?
Sounds like scientific advancement to me.
Yeah. You don't need to go to space to see this. 3.3 million views have come to TikTok user Elif Candemir. Then they're showing all of the food that never go bad. That Elif's mom is a nutritionist trying to tackle obesity and wants to show, here's how this food never goes bad.
Our ancestors would kill for food that never went bad.
That's true.
Yeah. Could you heat it up and still eat it is the question.
No, I mean,
stronger
you could
than ever after you did.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's microwave, it should kill anything on there anyways. But I think that should be the next step. And also, is there receipts or any way that we are certain that these are 2 years old? Because they do look like the cheese on the pizza, everything looks crisp and clean. I don't know. I feel like I do believe this, but it could easily be a hoax.
Yeah. So what do you think that the nutritionist does with this stuff? Does she like come into like show and tell like at the school and say like, look at these nuggets.
They're
5 years
old. Yeah. And does that scare kids into not eating them? Or are they like, yeah,
cool,
I also want to live forever.
Yeah.
Give me that nuggy.
Oh, I feel like nuggets. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. What's for lunch today? Nuggets?
Because
it's either nuggets or mini hot dogs, mini corn dogs.
Yeah. But we've talked many times about like, oh, somebody found a like a Whopper with cheese behind their couch and it's still the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think somebody had put a hamburger up somewhere and it sat like that forever as well. So I think it is. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And
can we use this technology to preserve our own youthful looks? Like, can we inject hamburger serum into our lips and our eyes?
Well,
to
if you
keep
ate
us looking
more
beautiful
of that food, would you have those properties?
I'm almost certain that you
unfortunately
would not.
It ages you faster.
Yeah, it does.
Funny how that works.
Sucks. Yeah, it sucks whatever life force you have, your essence, straight from you, puts it back into the food.
Yeah. What if you worked at one of those fast food establishments and it was, or were around those preservatives?
Oh, constantly? Maybe. But that's really yeah, that's really crazy to see that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a scientist. I would say you probably don't want to eat that stuff every day, but sometimes it is delicious. Yeah.
And then just one more fast food adjacent story. Taco Bell is saying that they have been hit with a nationwide ingredient shortage as Popeyes has been hoarding chicken as the food industry is trying to play catch up with the pandemic. So Danny Taco
and also
Bell.
Tyson had a Tyson chicken, not Tyson Apostle. Tyson chicken had a huge chicken recall as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Popeyes is holding the market hostage.
Yep.
With this like surplus of chicken they've stored up and now they're like giving the bird to everyone.
Flipping the bird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Taco Bell is just jacking
Taco
its prices.
Bell, yeah. They blew it. They did not see this coming. Taco Bell's running out of ingredients.
That's too bad.
Popeye with the game changer there. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we know where to get our cheap chicken
smart
at.
Yeah.
look, Popeyes saw where this was going. Taco Bell did not.
Popeyes wants to get to space and they know how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just ramping up the chicken prices.
Okay. Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Let me check. I haven't had time to construct a bolt hole, so I don't know.
Build a bolt hole every week?
Yeah, I construct a dreamy bolt hole from articles I read. I do have one article, and it's a follow up
to
something we talked about maybe a year or two ago.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Here is Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes.
This is covering a robot that made the news a year or two ago called Pepper.
Pepper.
Back in 2018, people were hiring this robot and they supposedly could read emotion. And it was going to be the breakthrough. People weren't going to become unemployed because the robot was going to take their jobs. And it turns out that Pepper's being fired at a rapid rate by the people who bought into that robot because the robot sucks. Mm-hmm. Just like every overhyped robot that comes out sucks.
Yes.
Because robot technology has not reached Terminator yet status. Mm-hmm. So we expect the T-1000 and instead we're getting short circuit robots.
Oh, well, I love
short not even
circuit.
As good as a short circuit robot. Yeah, the short circuit robot was a better robot.
Johnny number
than
five.
The robots we are currently putting out.
Yeah, here's Pepper, adorable.
So,
and so Pepper is being fired, or Pepper doesn't want to work?
No, I think Pepper is being let go.
Yeah.
Is the easy way to say that.
Okay.
By all these schools and companies that bought Pepper, no longer want Pepper around. It's not supporting the company quite like they had expected. And by the way, robot expectations are way up here. You know, I've got my hand above my head, but the reality is still down here in the crotchal region. So robots have not reached the status that we would like to believe they've reached.
Yeah.
And Pepper is paying the price for that.
Yeah, Danny, apparently that because it looks too much like a person, people are expecting it to be a person. When it looks like it's an iPad.
Yeah. You know what? It is an iPad. It's got the iPad on the chest. But I think that we want robots to look like people. Like we will need them to look like people in order to
eventually
emotionally respond to a robot. I don't think it can look like a box. I think, again, Short Circuit looked enough like a human that we emotionally responded to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to have some kind of humanoid appearance. But yeah, we're not there yet. I'm sure some company like Boston Dynamics has like this amazing robot that it's just holding back from the world because the world's not ready for it.
Tyson, are you ready to invite the Pepper robot into your home now that if you can get it on a discount?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like it's a markdown now.
Yeah, it's may as well get it.
You can make me a sandwich.
I don't think
you could make
you
a sandwich.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
You don't think you could even do a circuit breaker sandwich or something?
If it could, I would easily buy one.
Yeah.
I saw a video this week of all of like seven Boston Dynamics robots doing some dancing. And they were just like,
yeah,
do, do, do. And they were, and the headline said that the Boston Robotics robots were dancing soulfully and with rhythm. And I don't know if that was code saying that they now have souls.
Mm-hmm. Were you impressed with the dancing?
Yeah, it was cool. And the dogs have like these long crane necks and they were moving around. And then there were these two-legged hoppy robots dancing and stuff. And they were dancing quite soulfully. And can Pepper dance like that?
No, Pepper can't do anything.
No, Pepper's a piece of garbage. Yeah. The thing is, if you go back to DARPA's initial challenge where they had robots, bipedal robots trying to open doors and do all these tasks, it's so easy because you laugh at how ridiculous they were. But in the couple of years since that contest that DARPA put on, mm-hmm. you now have robots that can like do flips, jump over logs, probably run with machine guns and cut humans in half. They just don't show that footage. And then do sweet, cute little dances to kind of normalize their appearance. But the Pepper robot was a really stupid robot, like so many of the robots that are quickly put out. I think that Boston Dynamics, they're creating the real robots that will probably enslave us.
Yeah, they will definitely enslave us at some point. And I, for one, have always
welcome your robot overlord.
That, the Boston Robotics team. Its robots are the by far the most soulful and rhythmic of any of the
robots. Of all the robot pets out there. Okay. Danny, anything else?
That's it. That's all I've got. Okay. Hopefully I'll return next week with better connections to the internet.
Okay. All right.
You did great, Danny. It sounded, I mean, there was a teeny tiny bit of a delay, but I mean,
you're good.
You're good. It's about people. A lot of people will just assume that's a mental delay. See, it took him a couple seconds to laugh at that.
Yeah. All right, Danny. What's next for you in your travels?
Oh, I'm going to go home and live comfortably for a while in my own abode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll be nice to probably see your kids again for a day or two before your next adventure. Yeah.
By the way, well in the chat says, by the way, please don't spit oil from oil pulling down the drain. It could clog your pipes. So just something to keep in mind, Danny.
My trick was to just turn the faucet on super hot so it keeps the oil hot all the way down to wherever the drains go.
No, I don't think you should spit in the garbage, I think.
Oh, you do?
I think you should. I mean, I've never done the oil pulling.
Yeah.
So where do you, what do you do with your bacon grease after you've saved it in a mason jar to fry your eggs in for a few times?
Yeah, I don't really cook a lot of bacon.
Why not?
I think it's bad for you.
It is. I don't actually cook bacon ever either, but I remember in the olden days, my mom, when she'd cook bacon, she'd then dump the grease in a mason jar to save for whatever purposes you save bacon grease for.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Chapstick.
Yeah. Chapstick. Probably.
Yeah.
Knuckle lubrication, et cetera.
Sure.
yeah. Anyways, we had a great time today. I agree with you. And Danny, you sounded, fine. You sounded good.
Oh, I don't think, thank you. Thank you
so much. I don't think you should be ashamed of anything other than siding with the billionaires.
Yeah.
Who else would I side with?
That's true.
Yeah. All right, Danny, you want to tell people where they could follow you?
Yeah, we'll be putting up new videos on Mediocre Amateur on YouTube.
What's the turnaround from when you go to the Alps to when do people see it on YouTube?
Typically 2 weeks to edit one video, and that's kind of plugging along every day. Yeah.
Okay, people like probably turn it on. They think it's just easy, but it's 2 weeks of adventures to make one video.
Danny does it for the love, man.
Yeah,
I do. I love making videos.
Yeah. See, and boy, if Danny went to space, that'd be one hell of a video.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh my gosh, yes, I would love to make a video of me going to space. Hey,
yeah,
tell all your billionaire friends that I will film them going to space.
Okay.
Okay.
I probably know some billionaires, but I don't know everybody's real numbers. So,
all right. And then Tyson, what's coming up for you?
Nothing. We just have 2 weeks till school starts for Bergen, and we're, just going to, you know, go on some day trips. We were going to try and get a trip to Utah to see grandma and grandpa one more time before school started, but I don't think we're going to make it. And we're excited for Bergen because she's getting the same teacher she had. So at the start of the pandemic last year, they did in-person school, you know, homeschool. And her teacher, her kindergarten teacher then she went back to physical school and got a kindergarten teacher that was the same as her online one. And then that teacher decided to be an online teacher only. So Bergen got passed to a different teacher. But now that teacher that she had developed a bond with is now teaching first grade. So Bergen is reunited with the teacher that she was sad to leave.
Oh,
so
good.
That's
happy days.
Yeah, those are happy days. And then just waiting for it to cool down out here in Arizona. It's actually only been like mid 90s to 100 for the last while. And we've been getting some monsoons, which is, the desert needs rain.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah.
All right.
And that's about it. Just, influencing, running some giveaways on Instagram currently, and have some new exciting stuff in the works that will be announced be announced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And of course, we're rolling along with Big Brother, the Survivor Top 40 Countdown on tonight. I'll be talking about the 11th best season of Survivor, Survivor Philippines.
That means
yes,
that three of my seasons are top 10.
Yes, that's right.
Three out of four, and all five of them are top 15. All four of them are top 15.
Yes.
So, well, it was a good run. Probably the best run of any four-time Survivor player.
Seemingly, yeah.
Yes, very
maybe
nice.
Even all, maybe the best run of any even three-time Survivor player.
We'll have to check the math on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. Are there any three-time players whose all three seasons have been in the top 15?
Amanda Kimmel.
Dang it. So hers is probably better. That's a better run. Let's see. She had Micronesia.
Did she ever win?
Heroes versus Villains. No. Yeah. And then what was her first seat? China. China hasn't been up yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe my top three seasons, because if she were on another season, definitely wouldn't be top 10.
Yeah. So
unless it had me on it as well, then probably it would be.
Look, does she have $1 million check? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jokes on her. Thanks for making me feel good about that, Rob.
Yeah, I try.
You're a good friend.
Survivor Philippines, tonight's Philippines, the site where Tyson would go on to win Survivor, correct?
Correct.
So that's, you could check. Was it the same beaches?
As which season?
Survivor Philippines? Oh, I
don't think so. I think Survivor Philippines was the same as Carimon. And we were up north in Cagayan. So Cagayan and Blood versus Water filmed on the same beaches.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Tyson, Danny, great job. Danny, nice to have you back this week. We'll be back next week with more News AF. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.